Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to today's all-new episode of Jawa Jabber. Happy Star Wars Podcast Day, everyone. As I just mentioned, today, February 7th, 2023, is Star Wars Podcast Day, an unofficial celebration of the Star Wars fan audio community. Last February, this event brought over 100 shows together to celebrate everyone's favorite saga, and this year we are honored to be a part of it, and we thank you all for listening. And also today, the gang is all here. We've got Dennis the Phantom Menace.
Hello, boyos!
Kenobi.
Hello there.
I love it. And fresh from our trip to Galaxy's Edge, and yes, we'll be covering that in another episode, we've got Matt, the radar technician.
Hi, I'm Matt. I'm a radar technician. I'm really looking forward to some real talk. Some real folks.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's perfect. And of course, I am Supreme Leader David Wren. Are you guys ready to talk some Star Wars? I can't even function right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ready as always.
All right, cool. Let's get this started.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first.
All right, so today's episode, to celebrate Podcasting Day, we are going to talk about the state of the fandom. And we're going to start with, how did everybody get into Star Wars? You know, like what age you guys were? Was your family into it? You know, if your significant other is into it or not? You know, let's open up with Dennis. You want to start off?
Oh, I thought we were going to go youngest to oldest, but I'll start. That's fine. That's fine.
Well, if it's youngest, it's me. Sorry, Kyle.
Sure, sure.
We kind of like backwards. Age before beauty, yeah. Or beauty before age?
I don't know.
Keep the charm going, Matt. Here. Keep the charm going. All right, Dennis, come on. Star Wars.
Yeah. So I got into Star Wars when I was really young. First movies that I saw were these special editions from that gold box set that my parents bought me. And I pretty much played those cassettes in the VCR until they just weren't even functioning anymore. But watched them a lot as a kid.
You didn't see them in the theater either?
No, I did not see the special editions in the theater.
I didn't either. I wanted to, but I think they were only out in my area for like 2 weeks or so, and we never got a chance to see them. So,
yeah. Honestly, at that age, I mean, I wasn't just singularly invested in Star Wars. I was doing a lot of other things as a young kid. I mean, everything from Pokemon to playing Sega Genesis, that really ages me. Because it's kind of like, what the heck is Sega Genesis? And it's like, well, a lot of people don't know, but
shut up with the aging thing.
Well, for real, everyone's like, I got my N64, was my first gaming console. I'm like, well, lucky, because mine was a Sega Genesis. But anyway,
okay, I've got you all beat. I had the original Nintendo.
Oh, well, you just even had Atari. That's good.
I did not have an Atari, no.
But yeah, so the first film that I saw in theaters was The Phantom Menace at 10 years old. And that was, you know, it was a lot of fun for me. I have a lot of really good memories about that. And I know the merchandise was insane around that time because it was the first Star Wars movie in a long time after Return of the Jedi. So that really, you know, kind of carried that part of my life with the prequels. And I enjoy them even more now and appreciate them for, you know, what they brought to the fandom. But I think I really got back into it with The Force Awakens in 2015. That really like kickstarted my love and passion for it as an adult. And then, you know, kind of moving forward with the collecting aspect. So I don't really have a whole lot of people in my family who are as invested in Star Wars as me. Actually, I wouldn't say anybody is as much. But I feel like I wouldn't have been introduced to it if not for you know, my parents getting me that as a gift and watching it. And I got like, the plastic lightsabers that most kids have. And, you know, I got the pictures with the simple Darth Vader, face mask kind of thing. I didn't even have a cape. So we just used like a black tablecloth as a cape. So that was kind of funny. I got photos of that, but no, it was a part of my childhood. And then it kind of just blossomed into the way that I enjoy the fandom as an adult now. And it's got a lot of good nostalgic feelings. So.
Awesome. Matt, how about you?
Yeah. So I kind of touched about this, I think in my first episode with you guys about how my fandom started. So I'll try to skip past some of the stuff I already told and tell some new stories, hopefully. But I started in the beginning and, in the early 90s when I was a kid, when I got the VHS tapes for Christmas. And, I was hooked from there. But like family wise, I really didn't have any other family members that were into it. I was pretty much on my own. I fell in love with it on my own. Luckily, my parents were the ones who got me the tapes, and they bought me books. I got to go to the library and check out, books to read. And, the expanded universe is really what sparked my interest in the 90s. And then I know we talked about some things about, what we could talk about with this episode with growing up with Star Wars. For me, going through school, I was really into sports too. And to be honest, most of my friends going through middle school and high school, I was really more into the jock crowd. I played sports. So a lot of the people I was friends with weren't into Star Wars at all. So I think I really,
hey, me too, Matt. We both played sports. Nice.
So I think I really kind of
played sports.
What did you play, David?
I played them all. I played baseball. I played basketball. I played football. I played them all.
How about you, Matt? What did you do?
Matt was a soccer guy. Basketball and baseball. Soccer is my big sport. But
sorry for the derailing the
Oh, that's all right. But I think I definitely suppressed my Star Wars fandom a little bit just because, a lot of my friends weren't into it. So I didn't I kind of did it on my own at home. I read a lot.
You were the popular kid in high school. Just admit it.
I was in my grade. I think we had a lot of kids who just got along with everybody. I was blessed with that. I don't know if I was really ever a popular kid. I was never in the popular crowd. We just had a grade that really got along really well.
And yeah, that sounds a lot like mine, which is, it is a blessing. It's nice. Like, people talk about their traumatic high school experiences, and I can't really speak to that because I didn't have one.
When I was younger, like in my early, like freshman, sophomore year, I did get bullied, picked on a little bit by some of the older football players. And I think it was partly because I was...
That's because you were a soccer player.
And I was a freshman, sophomore, and they're older. They were juniors and seniors in the same math class or science class. So that was part of it too, I'm sure. But, I just didn't really have a lot of Star Wars friends. Even though I was friends with a lot of other people, like people that weren't jocks. Like, I remember having a group of friends in... high school that all played Dungeons and Dragons at the library, like after school, or it might even been in middle school. And I was kind of was like jealous because I wasn't really into Dungeons and Dragons at all. I didn't really understand it or anything, but I was like kind of jealous of like their friendship. They would go there every day after school. And there were a couple days I remember where I like before basketball practice or whatever I had going out, I would go watch them and just hang out. And I was kind of jealous of that. They had that like, friendship and that thing to do. And I remember asking my parents, like, hey, do you think I could start going to the library every day after school? And they're like, no, you don't have a reason to. And I'm like,
Why do you need a reason to? And, I wanted to go to the library.
But I
was going to say, I'm surprised they weren't like, wow, my son wants to go to the library and do research. Okay, sure. I'll let them do that.
I don't know. I think, some of that was kind of what it was, what weird, you know, they just saw, like, I should go to basketball practice and then go home or, you know, whatever. They probably, maybe they thought I was going to, you know, screw around and do stuff I shouldn't be doing, even though I had good intentions with it. But I did end up with a friend in middle school who, his name was Matt also, and he was Big Matt, because he was way bigger than I was. He was like, ended up being like 6'4" in high school. And,
oh wow.
And I was little Matt, and he was a Star Wars fan too. And we got Aww. To be friends in middle school, and he was my first Star Wars fan, where I would go over to his house and we'd play with like the little micro machines and stuff. And we, wrote some comic books together right in middle school. We did a bunch of drawings, and he actually, so this is going to get kind of sad here for a second, and I don't talk about it a lot, but, he actually drew me this boat. We would draw in class. He drew me this Boba Fett drawing. And it was kind of like a copy of one of the books, one of the Expanded Universe books. But anyway, I had kept it, and he'd like signed, like wrote his name on it. And I had kept it, and I'd forgotten about it for years. And then, him and I kind of through high school, we were still friends, but we kind of grew apart a little bit. And then in college, we went our different ways, and I hadn't seen him, I don't think after we went off to college, I hadn't seen him in years, and we're still friends on Facebook for the longest time. And, he ended up passing away about 4 years ago.
Oh my
and
God.
It was a really sad circumstance, and I won't get into any of that here, but I remember when it happened, you know, I remembered I had that drawing, and I found it, and I still had it, you know, this Boba Fett drawing with his name on it. Was signed in 1997, and I had actually taken it to Anaheim, and I was thinking about having Morrison sign it if I could, like a copy oh, wow. of it, like not the original one, but the copy of it, or just showing it to him and kind of telling him, you know. And I missed one opportunity to do it, and I told Sam about it, and Sam was like, "Oh my gosh, that's beautiful." She's like, "You need to tell him." So we were gonna go try to tell him at another point, and I think he ended up being done on the day we were doing it, but I still hope to do that someday. So, you know, that really, I think is my story of, I kind of was a closet Star Wars fan for the longest time, just because, you know, the crowd I kind of ran with didn't, no one really liked it. You know, I didn't really have a family that was into it. I kind of suppressed and did it on my own, other than a couple random friends, until, you know, The Force Awakens came out, and I kind of really got into it again. And then it really led me along this path to finding you guys. And, you know, it's kind of crazy for me now to like that. I have this many amazing, close, good Star Wars friends, when for so long in my life, I didn't, you know, but I wouldn't change it, because I'm thankful to be here with you guys now. So
that's what's great about this fandom. It just brings people together like that who probably otherwise would never have met or even interacted.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like up until you guys, I mean, I had my friends who I went and saw like the premieres with, like Sean, Ashley, and Brendan. We went and saw every movie that has come out since together. I know my friend from college, Jackie, came and visited me for Rise of Skywalker. She surprised me to come down because it was the last movie, so she kind of wanted to see it with me. And we had seen Revenge of the Sith together. We were in college in California at the time when Revenge of the Sith came out, so we saw that one together, and she wanted to see the end of this trilogy with me, so she had come down to visit me that December to see it with me and stuff, which was really cool. But, like, you know, none of them share the passion that we share, you know, like when we go to Celebration and we see all these like-minded people. Like, I really can't picture, I mean, I can picture some of my friends going to Celebration, but they wouldn't enjoy it as much as we do. And, you know, like, they're not as into it, like with the collecting and the clothes and the, like, everything. And yeah,
and just they would like not guys, go at it like we do.
No, and you know what? That's okay. Like, that's fine, because I'm their friend that goes into it that much. You know what I mean? And then we've got each other, and it's all good. Like, it's fine. Yeah, and it's great. But just like you, Dennis, I started with the special edition in the gold VHS boxes. My dad got it for me for my birthday that year that it came out. And I remember after school every day watching one of the three. Like, I would come home on day one and watch A New Hope, and then the next day Empire Strikes Back, and the next day Return of the Jedi. And I just kept for months watching them one day, one movie each day, because back then that was what I did. I didn't watch like an entire trilogy in one day.
As a kid, I gotta ask, as a kid, which one was your go-to? I know you said you like cycled through them, but like, there's no right answer here, because to some people there is a right answer, but like, did you have one that you went to all the time?
So truthfully, in the beginning, it was, I literally for months, I did 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. And then once I settled down a little bit, my go-to was probably Empire. It's
lies, you know, lies. You went 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6, 4, 5, 6.
Okay. Yeah. 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 You know, you know what I meant? The prequels weren't even around yet. Okay.
But it's still, it's episode 4, and then you're like,
I know.
Hey, Mom, where the hell is 1 through 3? Like, this is number 1, but it says episode 4. There's got to be some more.
Funny enough, and I feel like I'm still this way, I was such a go-with-the-flow person. Like, it didn't even occur to me that it's episode 4, 5, and 6. Like, I know that I saw it every time during the crawl, but, like, I never questioned it. I was like, oh, okay, it's episode 4, A New Hope. Okay, it's episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back. Like, I never questioned it. And then I remember at the Scholastic Book Fair, there was a Star Wars role-playing game.
I love those book fairs in school.
Yeah, man. Right? But, like, I had to get it, and it must have been 98, I guess, like, because it was a little bit after. And but I remember going, and I got the Star Wars role-playing game thing, and it took place in between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, and it was like you started on Yavin 4, and you had to choose if you had like an X-wing or a TIE fighter or whatever, and like, you know, because you could take a TIE fighter apparently from the Empire, or it was just there or whatever. So, but I remember it came with like a Star Wars magazine every month, because of course you signed up and, you know, you got like a new game every month, and it was like, oh, cool, this is great. And that was the first time I heard about the prequels coming out, because they had an interview with George Lucas. And I remember they had the puppet 3PO, or the, I'm sorry, the 3PO without his skin, like on the cover. And I was like, oh my God, they're coming out with new movies, because I didn't have the internet. I was, I don't know, 14, 15, but like the internet was not a thing really, especially in Lambertville, New Jersey. So like,
you're really dating yourself with that one.
Yeah, I'm aware. I know, but like, hopefully some of our audience can't do the math and then everything's
fine. So you're telling me you didn't get those CDs in the mail where you had like an hour of AOL?
Oh no, I got them, but we didn't do AOL for some reason. Huh.
I remember those days.
I grew up on American Online. I will admit it.
Well, yeah, and like eventually we had AOL, but like, because I remember when I went on my Europe trip, like that's how me and my friends communicated after the Europe trip. We all had screen names and that AOL Instant Messenger thing.
Well, welcome to Jawa Jabber, everyone, where we get off on tangents very easily, but that's part of the great part of the podcast.
That's part
I'm
of the
I'm just
fun.
Now learning what AOL means.
Oh my what? God, Kyle.
Stop it. Stop.
And this is the beauty of our podcast, the diversity of our opinions and ages.
Yes, and we're educating the young Kenobi.
We are multiple even generations. Though sometimes, just kidding. Well, not really.
Oh, yeah, we're multiple generations. Sure. Shove it, Dennis. That's what you guys make me feel
laughing
like.
Laughing it up like a furball.
Uh-huh. Fuzzball. Quote fuzzball. It right. We're fuzzball.
My mistake.
Yes. Kenobi. All right, it's your turn. How about how you started with Star Wars?
Yeah, so like Dennis, I vividly remember the gold special edition VHS tapes.
And me, that was mine too.
That's right. And for whatever reason, I remember starting off with Empire Strikes Back.
Really?
No idea why, but yeah, I must have been probably 3 years old, I think, because there's a picture of me on that. You guys have all seen the picture. It's like a core memory to me
with the tauntaun
on Christmas Day.
I love that picture.
Yeah, that's
By the way, David, that was the right answer. Just kidding.
What?
Empire.
Oh, okay. Right. Speaking of Empire.
Yeah, so then the first movie I saw in theaters was Attack of the Clones. That was great. I literally had every action figure I could think of. But I think it really started with the Clone Wars, because that was a point where I was getting into my teenage years, and that was a show that I could familiarize myself with and watch whenever I wanted to. And the movie was so close to my birthday, and that show got me through a lot, man. Like those characters and Ashley's performance as Ahsoka and Matt and James Arnold Taylor's Anakin Obi-Wan, that really just helped me a lot in my teenage years. But another memory I had, speaking of Revenge of the Sith, this was 2005, so I was about to be 7 years old, I think. I'm in the car rider line at school. My parents are picking me up, and I told my friend Charlie, I haven't talked to this kid in probably 15 years, that we're going to see the new Star Wars movie and asked if he wanted to come. I'm 6 years old. I have no idea that movie tickets sell out. So my mom had to scramble. I knew she had to scramble to get an extra ticket for that movie, and that's something I appreciate to this day.
I have a pretty cool story like that too. It wasn't, it was Phantom Menace. So we, you know, it got on the news that like tickets are selling out and everybody like, you know, is like waiting in line. I think in Los Angeles, they were waiting for like a month and a half or something like that, you know, like outside the theater, like they're camped out for their spot because, you know, what's reserved seating and why they didn't think of that in the 90s. I'll never know. But no, I remember, so we have this tiny, it's no longer here, but in the one town above us, it's called Flemington, we had this tiny, tiny, tiny movie theater. And I was so paranoid that it was going to sell out that my dad went over on his lunch break the first, because he worked in Flemington, and he went over on his lunch break and waited in line for about an hour just to get me tickets for opening night for me and like a couple of my friends. And he came home from school, and it was probably like a month beforehand. But I remember thinking like that was so cool. I'm like, oh, I'm like, he
that's awesome.
Online for me. Yeah. Cause like I was in school. I didn't drive. Like I was about as young. No, Kyle, how old were you in 2005 when Revenge of the Sith came out?
Six, about to be seven.
Oh, okay. No. All right. I was older than that. I was in high school in 99. So don't do the math. But oh my God, I was in, oh my God, Kyle, here goes my midlife crisis again.
I was going to say, midlife crisis. You heard it here on Jawa Jabber.
Every episode, there's one of those.
Every episode, there's going to be a midlife crisis, except for the Galaxy's Edge episode. There's no midlife crises in Galaxy's Edge.
Every episode, Kyle reminds us how old we are. Thank you.
I know. Isn't it terrible, Matt? Like, it really
you guys
is.
Get yourselves into it, man. I'm not. I mean,
we
you guys
do
are going
not.
Through, who brings up AOL?
Me.
Dennis. Yeah, exactly. If anything, Dennis brings it up.
It is a pretty remarkable thing of historical significance, Kyle. Come on.
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
It is. I got in trouble if I used that CD and my parents wanted to use it or something.
Oh my God, remember the dial tone for the internet?
Yep. Yeah. I remember my mom would pick up the phone and she'd be like, get off the phone, get off the internet, Dennis.
It's time. I gotta use the phone, get off the internet.
Or if you tried to sign on while somebody was on the phone talking.
Mm.
Yeah. The worst.
Yeah, no. Absolutely.
All right. So the next thing we're gonna talk about is, I know, right? Oh, the good old days of the days of yore. Let's just call it that. All right. So the next topic we're going to talk about is, Matt touched on it a little bit, is growing up as a Star Wars fan. Like, what content was released when you were a kid? Well, all of it, if you're Kyle. Were your friends into it? Did you get bullied? That kind of thing. And I'm going to start this one because Matt kind of already touched on all this. And I also didn't necessarily...
I kind of jumped way ahead on that. My bad.
You did. No, that's okay. That's okay. I was going to cycle back to it like a good moderator does. So do not worry. But I might skip all you hail, on this one, Matt.
All hail the Supreme Leader.
Oh, my God.
Here all we hail go. Lambhead. What are you talking about?
All hail.
Oh, my God. All right. We're never going to get through this episode. No.
No. Okie dokie.
Oh, Jesus.
Excuse me.
All right.
That was so good, Dennis. Damn.
I was going to say, he's got, yeah, he's got Jar Jar down. Maybe that's why his name is the Phantom Menace. So.
Sometimes it crosses over into Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. Gotta be
I know.
Careful.
Isn't that the problem with Jar Jar's voice? It's totally true. It's totally true. It does cross over into Stitch. All right. But like I was starting to say before our tangent, I didn't really grow up as a Star Wars fan. I mean, my teenage years, yes. So, like, I was 13/14 by the time I first saw it. So, like, I mean, I was already in my early teens. And back in the day, I did actually read, unlike now. So I did remember reading some of the Expanded Universe novels, which I did enjoy at the time. I'm not really sure what happened, but I just, for somewhere along the line, I stopped reading. But I read the Thrawn trilogy, which, of course, was my favorite because it was everyone's favorite. And, like, I just liked the whole idea of Han and Leia having twins. And, you know, I just liked that the universe was continuing. And then that first Christmas after I had seen Star Wars was my favorite Christmas, because literally every single thing I got that Christmas was something Star Wars, whether it was socks, board games. Like, I got the Saga Edition Monopoly, the Trivial Pursuit Star Wars game. Like, I got all sorts of, I got a Millennium Falcon. I got a remote controlled R2-D2, which at the time was like the size of a Mountain Dew bottle, like a little one. And it had a little...
Could you control it from your desktop computer?
Actually, no. It had... It was a corded remote. It was not even cordless. And it literally just went back and forth. And then there was a button to make the head spin.
But that's still pretty at the impressive time, for
I was
going to
say...
Or the 90s, sorry.
It was the 90s, Matt. It was the same time you were a fan.
David, are you sure that wasn't like a small, you know, like, I don't know, Dr. Pepper bottle? Or was it specifically Mountain Dew?
It is specifically Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is the only bottles that make a 16.9 fluid ounce bottle.
I'm just messing with you because I know you would know everything about Mountain Dew.
Well, duh.
I learned down in Florida. I even stole one of David's Mountain Dews.
I was going to say, that's how much you rank. I let you steal a Mountain Dew.
Oh, I was like, he didn't murder you?
I did not. I think I offered it to him, didn't I?
I may have had to beg, but you let me have it.
No, I don't think you begged. I don't think you begged. I wouldn't have made you beg. But no, so growing up, like, you know, high school was episode 1, which, like I said, my dad got me the ticket on opening night. I remember episode 2 was my senior year of high school, and I actually went with some of my sister's friends who were going to a midnight show, and that was my first midnight show, so that was an experience. I mean, I obviously didn't fall asleep, and I remember I had to promise my mom that I would go to school the next day, and I'm thinking, okay, it's May, it's my senior year, why do I have to go to school? But whatever. And we did a class trip to Disney World, surprise, surprise, at the end of April that year. And I remember, and I still have it to this day, and I brought it to Anaheim, but I don't think I showed you guys, but I have a beach towel that has some of the episode 2 promo art on it. And it's got like Anakin and Padme, and it's got like Yoda, and it has like a big Star Wars logo on it. And I don't know, it was just, it's a beach towel that I've had since 2002, and it's a little ratted and tatted, but I still have it, and, you know, it's pretty cool. And then episode 3, I was in college, and that was probably, I mean, since the sequels have come out, but at the time, Revenge of the Sith was my favorite theatrical experience, because I had my store-bought Anakin Skywalker Halloween costume, which I was so proud of at the time. And I look at pictures now and I cringe. But, you know, cosplay wasn't really a thing back then and whatever.
Yeah, and all that mattered is that you're having a good time. That's really all that mattered, even if it wasn't, like, screen accurate, right. You know?
Well, no, and I mean, at the time, I didn't know what the hell screen accurate was. You know what I mean? Like, I was just happy that I had an Anakin Skywalker costume. That fit me. Again, nothing has changed. So, but I remember, so we were in the city of San Francisco, and we had gotten our tickets, like, a month or so in advance. And we got to the theater for the midnight show at 12:30 p.m. And we waited in that line for 11 and a half hours. And I remember, like, people came by, like Target was there handing out stuff. I have, like, a really cool, your patience pays off. You waited in line. It's like a gold coin that Target had, because I guess Target was some kind of sponsor for the movie, maybe.
Can I just say, I kind of miss that stuff. Like, I love having the reserved seat and not having to, like, whatever, like, worry about that. But at the same time, it's like that, it's the experience is just like a celebration where you're in a line, and the line sounds like this is going to be terrible and it's going to be a struggle just to get in. But it's like, that's where you have a lot of the memories and even create friendships and bonds. Otherwise, right. It's just kind of like you're just paying for something and you go do it instead of having that experience.
There was a guy near me in line who was also from New Jersey. He was from a different part of New Jersey. But I thought it was crazy that we were both in California seeing the movie and, you know, we lived in the same state. And we were lightsaber dueling with this, like, 5-year-old kid in a Darth Vader costume. And we got our picture on the front of the San Francisco Chronicle, which is the main newspaper in San Francisco. So that was always a cool memory for me.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
The newspaper?
Of course I do.
A copy of it?
I do. Actually, I think I have, like,
a
couple
copies.
Oh, we
need to see it. That is
arranged.
I'll have to find it. I have it packed away, safely stored somewhere, and I will have to find it. But yeah, and then actually one of my friends from college was, like, and I had forgotten all about this, but he made, like, a documentary about waiting in line for Star Wars to end, and he sent it to me a couple years ago. I think right around the time, like, Force Awakens came out, and he was like, hey, remember the last time that Star Wars ended or whatever? And, like, he sent me it, and it was pretty cool to watch some of the footage of the line. And yeah, I remember with Rise of Skywalker, I made my friends, like, we got there an hour early. Like, I would not settle for anything less than an hour early. And they were like, David, we have our seats, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, no, part of the experience is getting here. Like, and I didn't let it go. For Rise of Skywalker, I don't know about the next movie in a couple years, what we're going to do, but I know at the time, I wasn't ready to let go of it, and I compromised and did about an hour beforehand at the movie theater.
I have to be honest, my experience before the Star Wars movies was going to the bar beforehand. I would go to the bar for a while, and then...
Jay!
You know, surprise, surprise. And then I get there about 15 minutes early, and... Enjoy the best of both worlds, I guess.
I'm so surprised, Matt. I don't know why I'm so surprised, but I'm very surprised.
Matt, the radar technician, likes to party.
He does like to party, but you know what? It's fun to party with Matt. I have to say that. You know, it's...
Agreed.
It's great. But, like, back to the subject. I mean, I didn't get bullied or anything. None of my friends in high school really liked... Star Wars. I mean, they all knew I liked Star Wars, but no one really in my class did. In college, I had a few friends that went. Like I said, we went Revenge of the Sith opening night, and then I remember my senior year of college was when, like that following fall, was when the DVD for Episode 3 came out, and it was a big deal because it was the first time that, like, the DVD release was, like, right after the movie came out, because, like, DVDs were just starting to be a thing. So, like, Episode 1 had come out when, like, Episode 2 came out. Like it was weird. Like, the DVD release schedule was not like it was today, obviously, because it's, like, a day later. And you can just stream it now, but that's a whole another story. But, like, we had that weekend that the movie came out on DVD, I got a few people together, and we were going to watch all six in chronological order. And I am the only one that made it through all six. Everyone else fell asleep.
I've got to be honest. I think with all the, sorry to cut you off, but with with all the sequel, with just the Disney era releases, when I got really hardcore back into, you know, going to every movie screening, getting geeked when it came out on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. Like, I definitely bought every one when it came out, and I screened it right that weekend, you know, that night I got it. Mm-hmm. But it was unfortunately before I met you guys and really other friends. So I was essentially doing it on my own. You know, I would. I'd binge that movie again for a handful of times, and I might have also tried to find it, you know, on the internet someplace before it was officially released, but we won't talk about that.
See, it's funny. I never did that. As much as I wanted to see the movie, I never did that.
I tried a few times, and it was like the worst quality. It was not worth it ever.
Yeah.
You're better off just waiting for the movie to be released on DVD.
A potato.
Yeah.
You're gonna essentially
watch it on somebody's hand on camera, like shaking during from a weird angle in the movie theater. And it does not do any of the movies justice at all.
I specifically remember when The Force Awakens came out on Blu-ray, and I had pre-ordered it at the Disney store. And yes, Dennis, we'll get to the Rise of Skywalker story about pre-ordering at the Disney store.
Don't get me started.
I know, but I was going to have to bring it up as soon as he mentioned about the Blu-rays and the DVDs. I'm like, oh boy, we got to bring this up. So, but I remember The Force Awakens, and I went to my local Disney store, which at the time was about a half an hour away. And so it wasn't far, but I got there super early, and there was like six people in front of me. And I'm like, what are you people doing here? Like, I am the only person in this world that pre-ordered this, you know, Blu-ray. But like, it was cool. It was, you know, like these guys that I would eventually see every year at the movie releases, or if they did like a pin release, like they did that Rise of Skywalker pin set. That they released a different pin every like weekend. And I know that I went with my friend Cameron. We met on Force Friday for The Last Jedi. And that was pretty cool. We maintained a friendship through that. But I remember going to the Disney store for The Force Awakens, and they had those. Do you guys remember those die-cast Elite series figures?
Yep. I got a few of them.
Right.
I had a few too.
Yep. Well, so did I. I had a few at the time. I think I had Rey by then, and I had Poe, and I had my Kylo unmasked. I didn't have the masked one, but I wanted the unmasked one. So I had them. And then when I showed up on the Force Awakens DVD, Blu-ray release day, they had all six of the original movies ones. They had released one from each movie. It was Darth Vader, Boba Fett, General Grievous, Anakin Skywalker from Episode 2, Darth Maul, and I'm blanking on who was... Oh, and a Stormtrooper, because there's always a Stormtrooper. And, Sam, there's always a Stormtrooper. So, but I remember seeing all them, like, behind the thing. And I talked to the girl who kind of started to know me. Her name was also Sam, ironically enough. And she was like, yeah, you have a couple of these, right? I'm like, yeah, but I don't have those. Are they for sale? She's like, yeah. She's like, how many do you want? I'm like, all of them. And she's like, oh, okay. And I remember I had them displayed for a while, but they were really cool. I like them a lot. And they're like heavy and they're die cast. And I thought that was a solid line of figures. I think they did too many Stormtroopers, and I know they do the same thing with the Black Series and everything, where they just
let's not get into that.
Right, like where you can just repaint a figure, and like I understand it from a business perspective, but it's just, you know, give us more figures, like Ben Solo. Us Ben Solo figures. Oh my god,
I don't know
please.
How long it's gonna take them to figure out that those would fly off the shelves, but
yeah, exactly, especially if they only made a few, because me and you would buy them all.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, real quick about The Rise of Skywalker, Dennis and I had pre-ordered ours at the Disney store because one of the things I liked about the pre-ordering at the Disney store was you got these lithographs. And even though each movie, they didn't do the lithographs I personally wanted, like, I'm sorry, it was a missed opportunity for Last Jedi to not have Luke and Leia, you know, that scene where they reunite. Like, that would have been an amazing lithograph. And anyway, that's another tangent. So, but Dennis and I had both pre-ordered at the Disney store. And for those of you keeping track, Rise of Skywalker came out in 2019, December. So we're talking early 2020. And what happened in March of 2020? The world shut down. So Dennis and I were unable to get our Rise of Skywalker Blu-rays, except for Target had them because Target was an essential business. So we kind of, you know, roundabout way of getting it. And then, I don't know, when did we finally get it, Dennis? September?
Eventually, October? We were able to go pick them up. But at that point, I was like, I'm just keeping the lithographs. You can keep the DVD.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I ended up getting it from the Disney store because I obviously went like as soon as they opened because I had become close with the Disney store people. So
same. It's sad to see it all shut down and go online.
Right. Before they knew my first name, I was known as, oh, hey, you're the Star Wars guy.
And
I
yep, the Star that. Wars guy.
That's uh-huh. Nice. I kind of liked that. So Kyle, how about you? I mean, you're probably one of the only, I mean, I know Matt, you said that you did it from a young age too. And I guess Dennis, you did too, but like Kyle, you were what? Six, you said? Like six going on seven? Like that's really growing up with Star Wars, at least in my opinion.
I think so, yeah. I mean, when Attack of the Clones came out, I was a little too young to understand plot lines and things like that, but I still collected the shit out of any figures I could find. But yeah, I really think Revenge of the Sith is where it started for me, and then with the Clone Wars. And I'm extremely lucky that, or to grow up in a generation where we had new Star Wars every year for the most part, because the 2D Clone Wars series, I know David loves that. That was what, 03? And then Revenge of the Sith, a year and a half after that. And
right, yeah, because they did that second season of the 2D Clone Wars that was like right before Revenge of the Sith.
Yep.
And like it released right before. And then that last episode was like Grievous kidnapping the Chancellor, which leads right into Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, exactly. So then by the time Revenge of the Sith came out, it was only another 3 years until we had Clone Wars. And that was pretty much every year for quite a while. And then Rebels after that, once Disney acquired Lucasfilm. So I'm extremely lucky to have grown up in a time where I really didn't have to go too long without enjoying Star Wars. And I was probably one of the only one of my friends who liked Star Wars. I had one friend that we would sneak our action figures into our backpacks and play with them and show off what we had. And like, this was in like first grade, because I would get to school early and have breakfast there sometimes. And the teachers would always yell at us, and we'd have to like literally sneak them in our backpacks to show each other what we got. That was a good time. But yeah, extremely lucky to grow up in the time where we have so much consistent Star Wars. And then the kids today, I mean, that kind of moves into our next topic about being a fan today.
Kids today are really lucky. I can't even imagine. Like my nephew, he's 7 years old, and like I buy him all sorts of stuff. It's weird. He's not really into Star Wars a lot. Like he likes it. He loves the Ewoks. I really messed up with him. Like he saw Force Awakens with Lincoln first. Too.
It's all right.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Like I planned this. Like when he was born, like he was born in July of 2015. So it was before Force Awakens came out. Like I already had in my plan, okay, when he turns 5 years old, we're doing A New Hope, and then we're just going to go in order and like yada, yada,
David
yada.
Had the Palpatine plan, long game.
Yeah, I had the long game, which you all know is what I normally do. But unfortunately, when my dad got sick, those plans kind of got derailed, and I was watching him one night, and I needed to feel a little bit better, so I turned on Force Awakens because it was the newest one at the time, and, you know, I had to I just wanted to feel better. So I turned it on and he watched it and he loved it. Like, he was the only 2-year-old I knew that was like, I want to be a stormtrooper. Like, I want to be a stormtrooper. He wanted to watch the stormtrooper movie. He loved the story. And he loves Finn. Finn is like his favorite character. He hasn't seen Last Jedi. He hasn't seen, I think he's seen little parts of Rise of Skywalker. But he also doesn't really sit and watch movies. So, like, it's funny. Whatever movie we're watching on May 4th is what he ends up watching. So, like, while he's awake. And he always wears a t-shirt on May 4th. Like he celebrates May 4th with me. But, like, I mean, he's not hardcore into Star Wars. I'm hoping as he gets a little older, like, I might be able to kind of, you know, push him in that direction. I mean, but if he doesn't, he doesn't. But, Matt, I'm thinking maybe, you know, with you and Lincoln, we can, you know, combine forces and we can get this next generation of Jawas going, you know?
I feel like these days, I mean, it's definitely challenging. Like you, I tried to push Lincoln into it, like, probably too early, you know? Like, I mean, I saw Star Wars at, like, 6 years old. And I'm pretty sure Lincoln saw C-3PO and R2 at probably, like, 2 or 3.
Right, exactly. Jackson was 2.
But I think maybe I insinuate, you know, like, smothered him too early with it because of my love, like, everything with Star Wars. And he, you know, he's going to be his own person, his own kid. And I love it. You know, like, he still likes it at times. You know, we'll go through straight. He just, for me, he's kind of gone through, and I'm getting kind of broken up talking about this because I'm thinking about myself as a kid compared to him.
Right.
And we're so much alike in ways. And he, you know, he loves Star Wars at times. You know, he loves Darth Vader and C-3PO and R2 and BB-8 and Kylo Ren. And he loved them before, and he goes through stretches, even when he got older, where he'd love the sequel trilogy. He'd watch all of it. Or even the original trilogy, because he says the Return of the Jedi is his favorite movie because he loves the Emperor and Darth Vader.
That's amazing.
And Jabba the Hutt. And
Jabba the Hutt.
But you know, then he goes through stretches where he wants nothing to do with it because he's into everything else in life that a kid is. And I was the same way to a degree. I had other interests, you know. And so I'll give it to him. And so you just try not to, like, force them back into it because, you know, they're going to hopefully find their own way back to it.
I think, well, like we all did.
Yeah. For me, I just never had it. The difference is, I will say, and this could be an important, like, thought for parents out there, is for me, when I was doing it, I was totally on my own. I really had no one forcing my interests. Because my parents shared all my interests were new, pretty much, you know, Star Wars, really Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or I mean, any little interest I had growing up, you know, they were all my own, and I just found them as I went. My parents weren't like guiding me at all. But whereas with Lincoln,
same Star Wars, I gotta admit, I have
a huge love for it, so I kind of guide him to it a little bit. And that kind of changes that a little bit. And I have to think about that and remember it, like, and accept it. Maybe he will never come back to it again because I overpush it again. I hope not. You never know. Because he does have some love for these characters. But, that, like you say, is probably another topic for another time. But as we go off on tangents, I already forgot what we were talking about. So hopefully you can reel me back in.
I feel like that's something where, like, you know, we were talking about, like, the state of fandom today and how I feel like, especially for kids. I mean, we had our own things back in, you know, the 90s and the early 2000s and things like that. But I feel like there's a lot of oversaturation. Even as an adult, I feel that way with the streaming services and with, you know, obviously the advent of the internet in the 90s, it was something where now there's so much going on that it's not even just Star Wars, especially with kids. And I know that, Matt, you've talked about Lincoln liking, you know, all these different other things like Sonic the Hedgehog. And I know those were around, but now with all the extra media that we have and all the extra social media that's involved in all this, I feel like there's just so much happening that it's not really as easy to focus on one thing.
Same way there.
Focus on one fandom.
Yep, we're good.
Yeah, no, Dennis, I agree. Like, and especially, I feel like in a way, a lot of, and I hate using the word franchises for like a one movie thing or something, but like, I feel like a lot of franchises are trying to like create a Star Wars experience. And, you know, like sometimes that fandom is not even the fandom, but like, it's just that franchise is not built for that. Like,
I think in a lot of ways, Marvel has changed the landscape of being a fan of sci-fi.
I agree.
100%. I mean, growing up, I mean, again, all of us, our story is the one similar through line that we have is that we were one of the few. And nowadays, everybody likes Marvel. I don't care who you are. I mean,
right.
Every Marvel premiere I've been to before COVID, especially Endgame, people were parking in the grass outside the theater in Central Florida. Yeah. And a very small town. I think that's really changed the landscape. And I have friends now who ask me my opinion on Star Wars that I never thought would. So I think Marvel, for better or for worse, has changed what it means to be a fan, and it has made it acceptable in a lot of ways.
I also think Marvel does probably, in some way, also act as act as a pretty big competitor with Star Wars. Without the advent of all the new films that came out with Marvel and that you know, the Marvel Universe, all of that was kind of spawned out of the, you know, the work that George Lucas did back with creating all this technology to be able to make those kind of films. And I think now with just the advent of that technology continuing to become more and more, you know, like, just, you just can't, sometimes you can't even tell what's CGI anymore and what's real. You just have a lot of people that, like Kyle said, getting back into this where they wouldn't normally feel like in pop culture, just maybe 10 years ago, it wasn't as popular to be a nerd or wasn't as popular to be involved in franchises like this that, you know, most people would have kind of, you know, like Matt said, secluded themselves and done privately because it didn't seem cool. It wasn't as popular. And now it's just kind of mainstream. You got people wearing t-shirts from all sorts of different things. And when they probably wouldn't even got involved in it if they hadn't seen it themselves or had friends who encouraged them to kind of dive into that.
Yeah. And then like the advent of these mega franchises and stuff, like, and the Marvel formula of churning out so many movies in, you know, a short amount of time, I think, you know, when Disney acquired Lucasfilm and they wanted to do that with Star Wars, it kind of hindered it just a little bit. Now, like, I wasn't complaining because I'll take as much content as they want to throw at me. But as much as I love the sequel trilogy, there's no denying that it was rushed. You know what I mean? Like, it was only 2 years between movies. It, you know, they stopped doing the formula of, you know, the releasing every 3 years, and it was every 2 years. And then they had Rogue One in the middle, and then Solo was in May. And then that got, you know, their box office was affected by Marvel movies. And it just, you know, it's just, it's crazy. Like, it's become, like, everybody wants the attention. And I think it's suffered a little bit. It hasn't necessarily suffered in quality. Like, I mean, you know, people who hate the sequel trilogy will argue that the sequels aren't as good. And, you know, I think they're fine. They're not without their flaws. And I love them. I love Kylo Ren. I love Rey. I love Poe. I love all of them together. But, like, you know, it's just, it's weird. And that's kind of what we wanted our last topic to be, is the fandom itself. And with the advent of social media, and I don't know if it, like, I've never felt this way. I've never felt this way personally, but like, you hear about people hiding behind the keyboard and they just are super critical, and like, I don't know what about the internet has empowered these people to do that, because like, I've never felt that way, and I've also always been a very go with the flow kind of person, and like, you know, they present me something and I'm okay with it, and I just go with the flow. Like, you know, I wasn't like, oh, you know, Kylo Ren, you know, I don't like him, he's a stupid villain, so I'm gonna hate the whole sequel trilogy. Like, that's just not how I that's not how I function. I enjoyed Kylo Ren from the first image that I saw of him, and then of course that cross guard lightsaber, however unnecessary it is, I thought it looked cool, and you know, I was on board, and then I saw the movie opening night and I was even more on board. Like, that Force Awakens opening night was another one of my best movie going experiences. Like, it was like revisiting old friends, and it was fantastic, and it kickstarted my passion all over again, and it got me thinking about Celebration, which led me to you guys and this podcast. And, you know, I mean, it was definitely, you know, there has been an awakening. It was in the trailer. It's the through line of kind of this Disney era, and it's totally true. Like, I never gave up on Star Wars before, but like, I mean, I was, and I know there was Clone Wars, but as Kyle and Dennis and Matt and you all know, like, I wasn't watching it actively while it was on. While Kyle was absorbing every episode, I was just like, eh, okay, that looks kind of cool. But like, you know, I didn't get any of the figures or anything. And then the Force Awakens really changed all that. And with Force Friday, and then, of course, Celebration, I finally got to in 2019. And I remember being really nervous because I was worried, because I liked The Last Jedi. I thought it was a great movie. I love Kylo Ren. I love what they did with it. And I was really excited for Episode 9. And I was really almost nervous about Chicago, because I would see all these comments online about these people that hated the movie and how Disney ruined Star Wars and their childhood, and they need to, you know, redo the sequel trilogy and just cancel Episode 9. Yeah, and like, for some reason in the back of my head, I thought that Celebration was going to be like all those people.
And yeah, like, I think we've talked about that before too.
We have a little
bit.
We
thought that. But when you're there, it's a completely different experience, because even those.
My biggest thought on that is, and I've said this time and time again, and I think it's the biggest thing I've learned with social media. And of course, you have to take social media for granted with all this. And I'm sure we'll get into that. But the loudest people are the unhappiest people. So like the people, right, you know, whether they're a minority, majority, whatever, I mean, typically a minority, are the people that are unhappy. And so going into, you know, I thought about this a lot earlier today when we were talking about this, about these topics. And like, could you imagine if social media was around when Star Wars came out, or The Empire Strikes Back, or Return of the Jedi? Like,
it would have changed everything. People would have Star Wars came out
and social media was there, everybody would have been pissed off that Obi-Wan Kenobi died. Like, as an obvious thing. And there's probably so many other things that people would have been mad about. Or during The Empire Strikes Back, everybody would have been pissed off that Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father, because there was a huge group of people that they, you know that were not happy with that decision. And that was before social media even existed. So how exactly you can even measure that, you know, is kind of
ESB kind of, I was just gonna, sorry, ESB kind of broke the mold on these action movies having a happy ending. Like, could you imagine walking out of the theater after watching Empire Strikes Back and you're like, what the heck? What I just watched, it ends on a terrible note. There's mm-hmm. no hope left at the end of Empire Strikes Back. Could you imagine just going and tweeting, oh, what the heck happened to a happy ending? Why is my hero disheveled and missing a hand.
I say, and has no arm or hand. Yeah, exactly.
And then you think about the social media reaction after Return of the Jedi, after all the Ewoks, which people would have complained about, after Luke
space
saying
bears.
Leia, or Luke finding out Leia, I'm your brother, and you know, he just kissed his sister a movie earlier. Like, can you imagine the social media fallout from every little step through Star Wars? What it would have been like in the 70s, like in the 80s?
Well, Matt, we were talking about that. We were talking about that this weekend. Remember I was telling you about that meme, like with Return of the Jedi and this like kid sitting in front of the computer. Oh my God, the Emperor has no backstory. Why is he the most powerful person in the world? Ugh, Vader, he's so lame now. Blah, 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 blah. What? Why are teddy bears destroying the Empire? Like, you know, it would be, it's crazy to think about it in this time frame because it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be
and
what
the
it
thing,
is today.
The thing is the biggest, like, loudest people want to make everything, like, essentially black and white. Like, new Star Wars is terrible because it ruined old Star Wars. When in reality, like, and this is the beauty of the Last Jedi story that Rian Johnson tried to tell, is that, like, nothing is black and white. Everything is very... Yeah. A lot of things in life are gray. Like, as much as we want to believe and love that Star Wars is black and white, and some of that story, some of that idea is, you know, admirable and amazing. Like, not everything in life is always that way. And those people were that way for the original trilogy, just in real life. You didn't hear them on social media. But it's the same with, you know, and it's on such a scale, you know, like, because there were so many in it. It's different for everybody. Like, Star Wars, like, we'll get into this, I'm sure, because this is my biggest viewpoint, is Star Wars is different for everybody. Like, literally every different person, Star Wars is different. It is what
that's a whole
you
nother
view
episode
it as,
right,
you know,
there.
Like, so, like, The Force Awakens made $2 billion for a reason. Like,
yeah, someone
some people,
was watching that movie.
Right,
not...
Some people, like, people, you know, some people disagreed with it. Some people loved it, but it made a lot of money. And the other thing, too, that I thought about earlier is that, like, Star Wars is made up of such a different, vast generation of fans. Like, when you talk about the original trilogy fans, like, that's what the only thing they grew up with. So that they are holding that to every standard. Then you get to the prequel trilogy kids, like they grew. That's probably what they loved first. They probably saw the prequel trilogy first, then maybe saw the original trilogy after, or vice versa. But they, you know, it's different for literally every person what you are seeing. And then you talk about like the kids now who are growing up with the sequel trilogy, like it's so, and I'm going off on a soapbox here, but like, it's so different for everybody. So I don't know. We'll get more into the topic as we go along, but that's just where I'm going to go with it from.
Yeah. I mean,
I think you brought up
a great point. Yeah. And the point of view, like, you know, I mean, they talk about it constantly in Star Wars, and the point of view, I mean, that's a whole nother episode right there, Matt, that we're going to have. And like, it's true. Everybody comes at it differently. It's not black and white as much as, you know, Luke Skywalker was in. His white Tatooine outfit and Darth Vader was in black, you know, like, you know, they did those visual cues for the audience, so you know, like, good from bad, but it just
very hardcore in the original trilogy. But I think George threw that all off
but
the
there
window
was still,
with the prequel trilogy.
Exactly, there was still gray there. He threw it out with Return of the Jedi,
very,
with Luke's black outfit.
That,
you know,
that too. I mean,
right,
and yep. It's always been there. I mean, a lot of it's always been there.
I think the biggest takeaway that I want any listener to have from this episode is that not every piece of Star Wars is for you. I'm the first to admit I'm probably the person who dislikes the sequels the most on this podcast. And that's not to discredit the people who work hard. There are thousands of people who work on every single one of these movies, every single one of these TV shows, the books, everything that has to go into Star Wars, the YouTube show, not all of it's going to be for you. Star Wars Resistance probably wasn't for me. Kenobi is not for a lot of people, even though we all love that show for the most part.
I was going to say, but we all loved it, yeah.
Exactly. So I think that's just the biggest thing to take away is that we have so much Star Wars now that there will be something for you. The people who don't really care for the sequels, I think The Mandalorian is giving you your own post-Return of the Jedi story. That's ultimately, I think that's what the purpose of the story is going to be. And yes, it'll still tie into the sequels. But again, no one's forcing you to watch anything. And that's what frustrates me the most about social media and how people are so vocal on it, is that they just assume that every piece of Star Wars content has to live up to their expectations. And that goes for Marvel, too. And Marvel's in a huge rut right now with Phase 4 probably being the worst phase they've had so far. But again, just understanding that not everything is for you. And it doesn't mean that there aren't thousands of people who are working hard behind the scenes.
I couldn't agree with you anymore, but that's exactly what I thought about all day thinking about this, is that, you know, if you're an original trilogy purist and that's all you like, then maybe that is all you will ever like. But there were a lot of us in, you know, that were also loved the original trilogy. They also wanted more Star Wars always. And now they're making more Star Wars always. And I feel like the more Star Wars they do, you know, is for the better. There is not going to be everything that you're going to like, because you want different people making different things. You as a watcher, you can't control what they make. I personally like that they're doing different things. And, you know, there's just so many boundaries, like places they can go with it, you know, like, because a lot of the original trilogy, you know, purists didn't like the prequel trilogy. Well, that is a huge part of Star Wars now. And a lot of that group didn't like that group. And then also a lot of people didn't like the sequel trilogy. Well, now you've got like three different areas that, I mean, it is all still a part of Star Wars, whether you agree with it or not. And there's only going to be more going on, and you can either try to like some of it, or you can just stick in your sandbox that you have and, you know, stay there, or you can try to enjoy some of what is coming. I mean, you have the choice, right? I mean, of course, the loudest people are always going to probably be the ones that don't like stuff. But, like Kyle said, I think, the beauty of it is that they are trying to give different eras stuff to like enjoy and play with, you know, like the Kenobi series really kind of is tied to the prequel era. It's kind of a love story of the prequel fans, and it still kind of ties to the original trilogy, and the Mandalorian probably is more a love story to the original trilogy fans, but then there's also so much amazing more stuff, like, you know, Star Wars Visions, which is like a whole new thing that gives love to other cultures, which is amazing too, because yep. Star Wars is not just an American thing, you know, like as much as us, we're all American, we want to think it's an American thing, but you have to remember Star Wars was also mostly filmed in the UK and in other countries. It is a worldwide phenomenon. You have to accept that Star Wars is loved by everybody. So to, you know, Star Wars should, if it is a representative of like a galaxy that is massive, far, far away, a lot of that galaxy actually was really kind of like a representation of Western culture when it was filmed, you know, it spoken in 100%. Western English. It's, you know,
a lot of Kurosawa films,
but
absolutely, that's the inspiration.
I mean, but you know, when you think about it, there's so much also inspiration from other cultures. So like Star Wars Visions, I think is awesome because it's essentially like a samurai, like, you know, like West or Eastern culture, like love story from Star Wars. Like, it's amazing. And if you can't accept that, then you really don't understand where like kind of Star Wars comes from, and the broader aspect of Star Wars being from a galaxy far, far away that is much bigger than the United States. Like, it's bigger than Earth. It's something that's out there, but it's something that's out there far, far away, but it's also inspired by everything on this planet.
And there will always be the grifters who are going to grift. You know what I mean? It's mainly, I hate to say it, it's mainly the OT purists, that kind of the group of people who grew up on 4, 5, and 6, and they hated the prequels, they hate the sequels. And I think a lot of them, for the most part, like Mandalorian. But if you grew up on the original trilogy and you don't like Mandalorian or Andor, I'm convinced you're just hating to hate, because Mandalorian captures the Saturday serial aspect of what Star Wars is and what George Lucas was inspired by. And Andor thematically captures, I think, everything the OT trilogy was going for politically. I mean, the show is a political thriller through and through, and about just the little guy taking down the giant, you know what I mean, and going after a fascist government. And that's all what Andor is about. And those themes are laid in the groundwork of the original trilogy, especially.
So not to sound like a broken record player, totally, but I would just reiterate.
I think it, like you say, it really is giving us a lot of Star Wars. Like, they are starting to give us Star Wars for everybody. Like, there is starting to be a little bit for everybody. You know, we've got the Bad Batch, which, you know, like you said before, like, not everybody has to be into everything. You don't have to like everything, and that's okay. You know, like, you don't have to complain about everything. Like, I'm not really into the Bad Batch. I watch it. I don't really get as excited about it, though. Like, I'm, you know, like the Mandalorian or Andor. Even, you know, Clone Wars, I didn't really watch it. And Visions, too. I watched some of it. I'm not really into it. But when I did watch it, I could respect the vision behind it and the art that went into it. Like, it was impressive. And I could really respect it. I couldn't imagine myself saying anything bad about it.
Well, and that's how it needs to be. Like, everyone should respect everyone's opinion. And like we've all brought up, there is so much content now. You don't have to like everything, but you also don't have to criticize what people like about it. Like, you know, I know Kyle doesn't necessarily love the sequels. Dennis and I do. Matt feels okay about them. Like, you know, but we all get along and everything's great. I mean, we pretty much all mutually love the prequels and the original trilogy. But like, you know, we get along. Like, Matt, actually, this will be an interesting conversation for us to have, because I don't like Visions at all. Like, I watched it. I think it's okay, but like, it's not my cup of tea, and that's fine. Like, I'm not bashing on it. Like, I don't, you know, want anyone to not watch it, but it's not my cup of tea. And, you know, now that I've started to rewatch Andor, yes, I have started to rewatch Andor, I am appreciating it a little bit more than maybe I did the first go round, and we'll leave that conversation there for another episode. But before
that's the best part about being a fan, though, David, not to cut you off, I just want to
no, you're good.
Go off that. Just appreciative of your attitude on Star Wars and your outlook is that, you know, Andor wasn't for you, Visions weren't for you. Personally, I loved them, but that doesn't change your viewpoint of Star Wars. It's not going
to
make you go online and post hate comments on someone's page who loves those kind of things. And that's the attitude that I have. Again, the whole point of this podcast is to share our slice of positivity in this universe. And I think that's an attitude that more people should have with media and entertainment in general.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping, you know, if we can inspire some of these people to have a better attitude, then hey, you know, I think we've done our job.
And hopefully some younger people too, because you got to remember, like, the original trilogy, people think they're the only ones that really know Star Wars, but you have a generation of people who were born and grew up with the prequels, and that was their Star Wars. That was what they watched. The original trilogy, they might have watched later. You know, and they may not even have liked the original trilogy. They may have only liked the prequel trilogy. And then you have a new generation who's grown up with the sequel trilogy, and that's what they've watched. And maybe that's what they like. And it's all okay. You know, it's all right. Everybody's entitled to like what they like. We have to just hopefully inspire everybody to like as much as they can, or just to get along and hope, you know, they're going to continue making stuff, like so much stuff. And, you know, we're all going to like some of it. We're all probably not going to like all of it, but we're all here in this galaxy together, and we all like Star Wars, which is become, whether we like it or not, is going to become a lot more content. And I would like to think it's a beautiful thing, and it's going to draw a lot more people together. And I think that is the essence of Star Wars, is drawing lots of people together from very different places.
Absolutely. Dennis, do you want to expand on that? Final thoughts on this topic?
I think everybody's pretty much hit on the topics and the things that I've been thinking of in my head. But just kind of, I guess, to reiterate what everybody has been mentioning, I think what we lack a lot, especially in the online community, is that lack of respect for other people's likes and dislikes. It's fine to have disagreements, and it's fine not to like everything. And like Kyle said, and Matt, and even you, David, that you don't have to enjoy every piece of Star Wars media that comes out. You don't even have to watch it, but to have the kind of like the attitude that you're going to want to take that away from somebody who does enjoy it, I don't think that's helpful to the fandom. I don't think that's helpful to the franchise as a whole. And that's kind of the feeling when we go to a Star Wars celebration, that it doesn't really exist there as much as it does online. And we had talked about how earlier in the episode, how when you have the internet now and the ways that people can express themselves, whether in a positive or negative way, it really affects how the fandom is viewed, even by outsiders and people who aren't involved with it. I see a lot of posts about, you know, nobody hates Star Wars more than a Star Wars fan. And it kind of, it stings at, you know, at me, because I feel like there are people out there who kind of give a bad name to the franchise because of the way that they react to things they don't like. And I don't think that's necessary. I think that level of respect needs to be something that needs to be more prevalent in the community, and more, and I don't think it, I'm not sure I ever will, because the way that we handle things online these days, whether it's Star Wars or politics or what have you, it just has those situations now where it's kind of like everybody has their own opinion, and that's fine. But a lot of the times they're just not necessary, because they can be negative, and they can be damaging to even a young kid's view of something that they enjoyed, but they think because of peer pressure, a lot of people don't like it, and now they shouldn't either. So I just, you know, don't want to like sound like a broken record player, but I think everybody made really good points in that, that everybody has the entitlement to enjoy what they enjoy, and people don't have to like everything that Star Wars comes out with, or that social media, you know, promotes. But there are people out there who really do enjoy it. And I think that's important to understand and to respect.
Thanks, Dennis. Yeah, no, that was a very good recap of what we've all been thinking. All right. I think that's about gonna wrap up our episode for tonight. Thank you all for listening, and, you know, happy Star Wars Podcast Day for everyone that is celebrating. We appreciate being able to be a part of this. And as always, we appreciate you guys listening. Does anyone have anything else to add or say goodbye to our audience?
Nope, just thanks for listening, everybody. Happy Podcast Day.
Happy Star Wars Podcast Day. This is Matt, the Raider Technician. I look forward to having great conversations with all you folks later.
One real quick thing while we're ending this. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can find us under Jawa Jabber. And on Twitter, we got Jawa Jabber as well. Instagram, Jawa Jabber Pod. And if you want to send us an email with any questions, or if you guys wanted to be featured on the show, you can send an email to jabberingjawas@gmail.com. And we'll try to read your responses on air.
Thanks, Dennis. I always forget about that part. All right, so that's going to do it for tonight. For Kynobi, Matt the Radar Technician, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am David Wren, signing off for the night. Thank you all for listening, and may the Force be with you always.